From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today for Let the Bible Speak. This is Alan Cairns with you as we continue our study of the Ten Commandments. Today we'll be looking once more at the fifth commandment, Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This commandment is vital for the welfare of our families, our homes, our churches, and our nation. It has a pertinent message for us all, so stay tuned. Before we turn to God's Word, let me encourage you to be in touch with us. Remember that we have some ongoing resources that we offer freely to all our listeners. Let me make special mention of a couple of them. First, we have our monthly Let the Bible Speak devotional tape or CD with brief doctrinal studies, and devotional messages, testimonies, and music. And then we have the April-June issue of our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. This is an issue you won't want to miss. It deals with some of the great moral issues that confront the people of God today. Abortion on demand, euthanasia, homosexuality, the Lord's Day. It has a vibrant missionary page and a feature article on the life and ministry of a young Christian physician. That's Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine. Now you may have that or the devotional tape or CD, or indeed any of the other resources that we mention from time to time here on the program, by writing or calling us at Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-877-LTBS 1-877-877-5827. I trust that you'll make sure to be in touch with us. We look forward to hearing from you.
Oh,
Though for quite a time the mainstream press, with a couple of notable exceptions, at first took little notice of it, an Afghan citizen was tried for the capital crime of professing to become a Christian. Actually, the convert, Abdul Rahman, says that his conversion took place 16 years ago while working in Pakistan. However, as he recently battled for custody of his children, his Muslim relatives denounced him as an apostate from Islam, and he was arrested. The judge in charge of his trial stated that if found guilty, he would receive the death penalty, but that Islam was a religion of peace and tolerance, and that it would forgive him if he repudiated his Christianity and resumed being a Muslim. Rahman refused to reconvert to Islam, with the result that the Afghan authorities were set between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, they need the support and goodwill of the West, especially America. And in America, Germany and Italy, to name just a few Western powers, there was mounting pressure to free Rahman and to demand freedom of conscience. On the other hand, the Afghan judiciary is far from being free from the tyranny of the very judges who in the not-too-distant past served the Taliban so well. So the government wriggled to find a way out of the impasse. The judge floated the idea that Rahman might be found not guilty by reason of insanity, arguing that anyone who turned away from Islam must be insane. In addition to the threat of judicial murder, Rahman also lay under another threat. The merciful mullahs of Afghanistan openly called on their followers to kill him if and when the court released him. All in all, it was a tough situation. Finally, the court gave its decision. It dismissed the charges against Abdul Rahman and sent the case back to the prosecutor for further investigation, citing lack of evidence. Then it removed Rahman to a top security prison from which he was to be released for mental evaluation. Doctors would decide if he was mentally ill. And he may indeed have become mentally or emotionally unstable, but remember that the sole question mark that the court has raised over his sanity was that he professed faith in Christ. One day after the court's announcement, the Assistant Attorney General told the Western press that Rahman had been determined to be mentally unfit and had been released. He professed that he had no information as to his whereabouts. Wherever he is, Rahman will be far from safe if the mullahs who dispense Allah's mercy have their way. Already, many other Christians in Afghanistan have found that they have no safety or protection under the law. Numerous cases of severe beatings have been reported, with the authorities giving no help. Indeed, they have joined the persecutors and have raided the homes of known Christians. It has also been reported that a number of others have been jailed to await trial on the capital charge of apostasy from Islam. This is happening in a country that owes its freedom to American intervention in its behalf. It's disturbing to see that many of the very forces that made the Taliban regime so brutal are still in positions of power in the new Afghanistan. Is this what young American servicemen and women bled and died for? All this should remind us that in our zeal to gain Muslim allies in the fight against terrorism, we as a nation may sacrifice American lives and accomplish little more than to place entire nations under Islamic law, a law that allows no mercy to any who turn from Islam to the gospel, or indeed to any other faith. There can be little doubt that we need all the help we can get against terrorism, but we should leave equally little doubt in the minds of those who come to power by the sacrifice of American lives, that there's a price for our help, and that in part it is that they abandon the kind of barbarism to which Abdurrahman and others have been subjected. Turn to the fifth commandment and emphasize the role of fathers, and especially their role in the biblical instruction of their children.
Somehow or other we have reached this stage where we have almost got a matriarchal society. Somehow or other we've reached the stage where it's the mother who gathers the children around. It's the mother who prays with the children. It's the mother who teaches the children the Bible. It's the mother who teaches them anything. It's the mother who does the schooling at home. It's the mother who does everything in the rearing and the teaching of the child. And I am not for a moment wishing to denigrate or undervalue the input of godly mothers. Having had a godly mother is the last thing in the world I would want to do. I want to tell you, it doesn't say mothers teach your children. It's not just the mothers. Oh, they're not out of the picture. They're a vital part of it. But I can tell you, it's especially the fathers. And if your job makes it too difficult for you to spend time with your children, in God's name, change your job rather than damn your family. That's what it's saying. Teach your children. Spend time with them. You notice in this text there's a time when fathers and mothers and children can actually sit down and talk. You notice that? How many American homes is that true of? Let's not just talk about America. This is a huge place. How many homes in this congregation tonight is it true of? This is a school town. I came from a town in Northern Ireland that was known colloquially as Cowtown. So I've come from Cowtown to Culture Town. Shock was great, especially for you. You know, you can get so busy with the all-consuming demands of school, whether as a student or a teacher, that your family never sits down together, never has time together to talk about the Word of God and apply it to your lives. I'm going to tell you, my friend, I don't care if you tell me you're doing the work of God. I will tell you, ultimately, you will live to regret it. Time for parents to teach their children. And that instruction should be eminently biblical instruction. I think that it is not taught that the only thing God ever teaches or says is people should teach their children is the Bible. If that were so, then the Bible would never refer to subjects outside of itself as if people should know them. But every part of the teaching should be eminently biblical. That says that no parent should be content to see his children grow up, maybe with a PhD in whatever subject you want, but still to grow up to blaze a trail along the road to hell. Surely no wise parent could ever be satisfied with that. Remember what I read from 3 John verse 4? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That's true not only of spiritual children, but of natural children. Can any parent have a greater joy than to know my children are walking in the truth? We want our children to be educated. We want our children, and I'll have something to say about this, even to become cultured. We want our children to be fitted for jobs. We want our children to be able to take a place that is viable in this economic age in which we're living. All those things are legitimate. But the most important thing is to know that our children are walking in the truth. And I don't think it would give us, any one of us, any pleasure to stand over the coffin of one of our children and know that he had lived and died in sin and gone to hell and say, well, you know, he made a lot of money. He got a great job. So what? So what? Teach your children biblically. Of course, that means you yourself have got to submit to the biblical gospel. That means you yourself have got to know what it is to believe and to repent and to receive Christ and walk accordingly. For if you despise the truth of the gospel yourself, you certainly can't influence your children to honor it and receive it. In other words, to be the best parent, you should be a Christian parent, thoroughly dedicated unto Christ. Now, parents must take this task of educating their children seriously. That's not to say for one moment that education is exclusively the role of parents. There are some people who have taken the homeschool idea to a great extreme as to say that the only people who have a right to teach are parents. Well, I think that's stretching the scripture way beyond anything that it was intended to teach. For instance, we find in the Old Testament not only parents, but the Levites had a God-given teaching role. So that instruction was not left only to parents. We find in the church, God has not left teaching and instruction only to parents. He has actually called pastor teachers to the place of instruction. Not only so, we find the Bible speaking of the schools of the prophets. So there were actual if we could call them colleges or seminaries. We read of Paul that as Saul of Tarsus, he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. So very clearly in the Scriptures, there's a place for schools, and there's a place for what we might even call Sunday schools, and there's a place for seminaries, as long as they don't become spiritual cemeteries. There is a place for them all. But parents are never to be mere onlookers. Nowadays, it's the state that claims the role of being the primary educator of children. And the results of that decision have been disastrous. As churches and parents, and you remember it used to be that it was the church that was the center of the local school. It was the church that set up the school. It was the church that set the curriculum. It was the church that administered the discipline. And family and church worked together. But somehow or other, with increasing socialization, church and family gave over the responsibility to the state. And the results have been disastrous. Because as churches and parents have abdicated responsibility to be fully involved in the development of their children, and have handed that task over to the state, what has happened? Families have disintegrated. And the state itself is suffering the consequences. Because no matter who's in government, and this is the grieving thing, when Christians get carried away with some political party or some political philosophy, doesn't matter who's in government, why the families of America are falling apart, America's falling apart. There's nothing can change that. Can't be done. God starts with the home. Remember what I said? Church and state were God-given extensions of the domestic arrangement, not the other way around. The results of the state as the primary educator have certainly been a tragedy. Parents are to instruct their children. Parents are to provide for their children. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 14 says, children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. So it's the parents' role to provide for the children. Not only physically, they must provide physically. It's their duty. I don't want to get off. If I were in another part of the world, I may have to do this. It's not the state's responsibility. I'm not saying for a moment that a state should be careless and make no provision for children in great need. I'm not saying there should be no safety net. I'm not getting into that argument even. But I am saying this, that it is not the role of the state to rear your children. That's your role. And rearing them, as we read in Ephesians 6, means nurturing them. Feeding them, caring for them. There is provision physically. But that's not all it's talking about. There's the extension of this to emotionally and morally and spiritually providing for them. Now that is the calling of parents.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.